Hello, hello, and welcome to the first instalment of the brand new Very Serious Wrestling podcast, Around the Ring in 7 days. My name is Tom McManus, and I'm coming to you from Salford City today with the ever unflappable Paul Vicario. How are you doing, Paul?
I am okay. Thank you very much for having me today, Tom, on a special podcast.
Excellent. I'm very excited. I guess we should explain what we're actually doing with this. So basically, we are two current workers for WrestlePro in Salford City. We have decided we're going to come together and basically just spout off our opinions on professional wrestling, because professional wrestling in the world today, in my opinion, is the best it's ever been.
Yeah. It's very good. What can we say? You know, I think it seems to be imploding on the British scene as well. Exploding, rather.
Not imploding.
So, not imploding, yeah. Anything going in or within itself is probably not very good. But yeah. Yes, good.
Yes. So we have decided to come together, like I say, give a few opinions on the scene. Today we are going to talk the current WrestleMania card as it stands. Obviously, as we all know, for any professional wrestling, WrestleMania is the biggest event of the year, regardless of what you may think. That's just a fact. So we thought we'd go through that and get that out of the way for our first show. Got lots to talk about. Obviously, some big matches were made on Monday Night Raw. You saw the show. What did you think of Raw, Paul?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, I thought it was okay. Decent show. I think they started building some of the matches now. Which I think last WrestleMania, I don't think we had too good of a lead in.
No, I remember
for matches. But there's a lot going on, especially around the women's division, that I think is making it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, the women's division is something they seem to have really focused on this year. Mm. And it's it's interesting to me, because obviously let's talk about the Ronda Rousey segment that was opening on Raw. This segment for me has its faults. Mm. Ronda has her faults.
Yeah,
there's no way to deny that. Ronda's not very good on the microphone. Mm. And that's a big issue with she's going to be a full-time performer. She's not a celebrity performer in the sense that Floyd Mayweather, when he came in and did his bits, if McGregor came in and did a short segment with WrestleMania, she's going to move forward from this and be a performer for WWE. That's going to happen. But even still, she's filling the celebrity spot, the celebrity draw this year for what they've brought her in. And for that spot, because we can't comment on what the match is going to be, how good this match is going to be, for that spot, you need to be on fire on the microphone for me. And Ronda just isn't it. She's doing really well with Angle. Angle, Triple H and Stephanie are doing a fantastic job of carrying her. But she's not there on the microphone.
No. And I think there were some timing issues as well on Raw, especially with the drum roll.
Yeah.
You know, who's your opponent going to be? And there was a bit of miscommunication with that.
I don't know. I think that was kind of planned. I think the whole point of that was to get Ronda over as a non-bullshitter. Like, Steph was going on with the level of, like, let's make this a spectacle. Let's bring this together and bring the fans in and stuff like that. And then Ronda cut her off straight away.
I would say that's inexperience rather than Ronda not being a
it's entirely possible. It did look, regardless of whether it was planned or not, it did look like there was an element of inexperience to it. But I have to say, and this isn't something you can say about, one thing I want with this podcast is to focus on the positives rather than the negatives.
Yeah.
And it's a shame we started off with a bit of a negative, but a positive of this that I have is, and it's not something you can say about WWE a lot, in my opinion, the booking for these segments is on point. Like, 100% this is the way they should be going, and this is the, and the segments are planned out in the way they should be. They know the limitations of Ronda,
yeah,
and they work around
that.
Them.
Yeah,
that segment on Raw, it's normally the 15-minute segment. I don't think that segment ran 15 minutes. Normally, the opening segment, when they do that, it runs 15 minutes. It runs far too long.
Yeah.
And the crowd is then struggling
kind of deflated,
afterwards.
Yeah.
And they were for the Nia and Alexa match, and then they picked back up at certain bits of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I think that was a separate issue to this segment. I don't think that this segment is what deflated them so much. It ran about 10 minutes. Ronda's microphone stuff was kept very short. Kurt handled all the big announcements.
Yeah.
In terms of actually making the match and putting it in place for WrestleMania. And then there was a payoff at the end of it.
Yeah,
the crowd got to see what they want.
There was enough going on in the segment for the crowd to still be engaged with it, I think. And they're so behind Ronda.
They're
so
really, really behind Ronda. Even though there are clear faults, the crowds want to see, which it surprises me. It does and it doesn't surprise me how behind her they are. When she was on top of the UFC, when she was bantamweight champion, she was the most popular thing in sport. She was the biggest thing in sport. She was the most interesting thing in sport. So I can see why the crowd have cottoned onto her and attached themselves to her in such a way that they have. But at the same time, she's been away for a long time. The payoff between the setup of this match at WrestleMania 31, was it?
Mm.
Yeah. The setup for WrestleMania 31 and then the payoff for this match being, what was it, 2015, I want to say, WrestleMania 31?
Yeah.
And we're in 2018. That's a three-year wait. That's...
I think that segment at 31 is kind of minuscule in terms of the importance of what's happening now.
Yeah.
I think it's good that they can have something to refer back to, but I think this is its own animal. And they'd be foolish to not refer back to 31, but I think that was just a test to see how she took the limelight there. And we can talk about, like, maybe her insecurities on the mic, but I think that you could run parallels with Ronda being a proper beast in the women's division, just as Lesnar is in the men's. And Lesnar's not great with his mic skills. You know, and he has someone to talk for in Paul Heyman. And I think that maybe that's something that they do down the line with Ronda.
Bring
a manager in. And it could be interesting to maybe have a woman's manager be the speaker for Ronda.
I agree with that completely and think that would be the way to go with Ronda, because I don't see a drastic improvement coming from Ronda anytime soon on the microphone. That's how she is. That's how she speaks, and that's not going to change. She's come from a completely different televised background rather than the completely scripted, in the script WWE. She's gone from the more freeform UFC, where she was allowed to say how she feels. So I agree with you. I just kind of think, who could they have? Who could they use?
Yeah,
who have they got that could fill that role? Heyman could do it if they were going to do it, if they were going to have a manager, but I just don't think... I know there are people that see Heyman as who should be the one to take care of Ronda and who should be the one to do it, but I just... For me, I don't see that. I don't know who you could bring in. Maybe a face Stephanie, maybe, but I don't think that would work as well with the way that they're running this angle.
No, I don't think... I think that would mess up too many things, potential storylines with that. Maybe Vicky Guerrero at some point. strong.
Interesting
enough,
to say that Guerrero would denote maybe a heel turn, with Vicky not being particularly popular on the microphone. Yeah. I don't know whether heel's the way to go. I mean, I think it's interesting to see. The big thing right now is the match. 6 weeks of although the upcoming big thing would be the 6 weeks of television that they've got to get through, with Ronda being on there every week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be quite interesting to see. And then obviously the match itself is kind of up in the air a little bit. Angle looked decent in the ring.
Yeah.
But Triple H is going to have to be the ring general of this completely. And I don't know if Hunter doesn't strike me as a ring general. I've never watched a Hunter match and said, this is a guy who could completely, if there were 100 people in this ring, he could control what was going on. Where there are people on the company, regardless of ability, that could do it more.
I think I can understand what you're saying, but I think in the ring with Steph and Kurt and Ronda, who, I mean, let's see, we've got Ronda who hasn't ever had a match in WWE.
Yes.
We've got Steph who has a critics, and Kurt who hasn't wrestled for a long time. I think when called upon, I think Triple H is.
I don't think there's any other choice. Triple H has to be the ring general.
He will take control of that. And I think, yeah, they have to, because you're going to have to kind of make up for Ronda's abilities.
Mm.
And that's why it's a tag match. You know,
yeah.
The reason it's a tag match is to kind of.
It'll be interesting to see. I can see them having a safe match.
Mm.
Hunter always has a safe match on standby, because he has the same, you know, the big knee strikes, heads to the knees. His, you know, he has a safe move set that he can do with anyone on standby at a pinch. So he can do that with Angle and then bring in a short bit between Ronda and Stephanie. I just think this match is too big a match to make safe.
I don't know. I think they'll plan it in a way that it's going to be entertaining. You know, you're not going to have a wrestler's wrestling match.
Mm.
And I think you'll probably end up having a bit of a skirmish at the beginning with Ronda, maybe Stephanie at the beginning. Nothing's going to happen then between Ronda and her till the end.
No.
You know, because they can, that's exactly
it'll,
where they
it'll
can hide
be the
behind.
Final bit.
Yeah.
They can build, yeah. I assume, with the audience.
Yeah. You know, Ronda's. It's going to be interesting to see what her sort of ring presence is like in a match. Especially, you know, footwork and things like that, big things.
Mm.
I could see Ronda. It seems obvious for me for Ronda to go down the sort of MMA style route for her kind of character and persona.
Mm.
But I don't think this is the match for it to happen.
No.
So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that works out anyway. But I do think, I mean, going back to Triple H, I think a safe match from Triple H has more value than, you know, other people who could plan a safe match.
Mm.
I think he can really make that, you know, a spectacle, really.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. We're going to have to see. It's going to be an interesting one for sure. Obviously, the Ronda tag situation also gives us a bit of an idea on the women's matches, because obviously Ronda's out of the title picture for the women's matches. Raw pretty much, I'd say, pretty much made the matches official with the Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax segment. Nia Jax and Asuka, that was a good match.
Yes, the armbar spots in particular.
I enjoyed the armbar spots.
Really, really good. And I think
I'm not a fan of constantly powering out of submissions, particularly things like armbars and stuff like that. But this worked for me. This got Nia over in a big way.
Yeah. If it's going to happen, if there's going to be an armbar spot, you know, powering out sort of multiple times, it makes sense for Nia Jax to do it. You know, she's that powerful athlete there. So, yeah, I think that I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the match. I think there's some different kind of reversals to that in a way. And I think the crowd are beginning to kind of
warm to Nia Jax more. Of the,
yeah.
Originally, I thought the key here would be to do a Bliss turn, have Bliss turn face, because I figured Bliss is popular anyway, she's being cheered anyway. In my opinion, when it comes to that, you should bite the bullet and do the turn anyway. Bayley should have been turned heel a long time ago, in my opinion, but that's another show, and we could do an hour on the Bayley situation, and we probably will. But with Bliss, I thought it was natural she was going to take the babyface turn. I can see why WWE are doing it with Nia, because Nia is potentially a superstar on, I say this with a grain of salt, on the level of potentially Hogan, I think. I think Nia
That's
could...
Bold. That's she, a bold statement.
My reasoning behind it is they have the whole sort of... They've planned it out with the whole she's not a Barbie girl,
yeah.
Which to the casual fan, you could take a look at that women's roster. It's not, but you have to look at it and say, these aren't pristine, perfect women. There are people that would still hold the opinion that Nia's of a different caliber of wrestler, in a way. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's very human when she comes across on the microphone. I always find that with Nia. She's very down to earth in what she says. She's got a sense of humour. She's interesting on social media. She's I don't want to say she's really funny or anything like that, but she's got a decent sense of humour. She can carry herself on social media. She is someone I could see them sending to Jimmy Kimmel to do the Jimmy Kimmel spots, to do the Jimmy Fallon spots the week before WrestleMania. I see a lot of potential in Nia becoming a really, really, really big star.
How would you book her as a face? How would you book Nia as a face?
In my head, you have to give her a horrible heel that tries to put her down constantly, and that's what they seem to be doing with Bliss. A dirtbag heel, in the fact that it will help them start to boo Bliss the way that they're going with this. In my head, the way that if Nia keeps casting aspersions about her figure and saying, you know, this... I'm trying to think of the way to particularly work, how they would word it, because they'd obviously do it in, I don't know, they'll do it in a safe manner, in one that won't cause offence. And for me, that might not particularly work for them. So they'll do things like, the way she was acting on Raw was, they were saying, like, you've had a hard life because you look the way you do. And that's what I think they'll keep going with, and eventually the crowd will say, she looks like a normal person, because she does.
Yeah.
So
there'll be a payoff there.
So there'll be a payoff, and you'll get not so much a sympathy element, because I don't think she needs sympathy, and I don't think that's the way to go, where the crowd feels sorry for her, but there'll be that element where the crowd will see her as an everyday person, rather than the big bad monster heel she's been built as. And that's the way I think you do it. And I think once you carry that on, Nia has the charisma to then take that further and could possibly be a big star. She's likable. Whenever you see her on social media, whenever you see her on anything else, I think there was a few clips of her. There's clips of her and Alexa Bliss messing about on YouTube and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And she's likable in the video. She's really, really likable. Like, I think they're possibly handing onto a big star with Nia, and this WrestleMania is going to be the key to start that off. Moving on as well, you've obviously then got Asuka and Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's Championship, if that's the case. And I think it will be. I think that's what they're going to go with. Interesting match. I don't think there's much more to say about it till I think it's going to lead to a Charlotte heel turn. But I don't think there's much more to say on that.
Yeah.
Where else can we go with this?
Banks Bailey.
I'm not sure on the Banks, but I assume we'll possibly get it. At the moment, it's looking like a bit of a pre-show match, potentially.
It's a shame, really, because I think this is the most I've been invested in Bailey since she's come up to the main roster.
It's really interesting me what they're doing, because the crowd seems to think Banks is going to make the heel turn.
Yeah.
But surely, with the way it's going, Bailey's going to be the one to make the heel turn. She's the one that's abandoned tag matches. She's the one that refused a hug on Raw. I think the Bailey heel turn, if there's a character that needs a heel turn on that roster and needs a complete gimmick change, it's Bailey.
Yeah.
It's Bailey, but we could do an entire show on the Bailey situation, and we probably will coming up in the next couple of weeks, especially if they do make the match. So let's take a look. There's a lot to talk about this week in the main events. Interesting. When this was first announced, it really intrigued me, because obviously I still think it's going to be Styles Nakamura. I don't think Fastlane's going to change anything about that. And then obviously at the moment we have Reigns and Lesnar in place. It was an interesting, because it sort of defined this year's WrestleMania for me. You have, they're booking two shows, kind of in the similar way to, they're not obviously trying to do what Wrestle Kingdom does, what New Japan does with Wrestle Kingdom, where there is matches for the Japanese fans and there are matches for the international fans in the way that New Japan books Wrestle Kingdom. But Mania seems to be, at the moment, it was half booked for, when the original rumours of the Mania card came out, it was half booked for casual fans, because there were rumours of obviously Cena, Undertaker, Reigns and Lesnar, Ronda Rousey's match, obviously. And then they'd book a separate show that was happening on the same show, on the same day, for hardcore fans with Styles and Nakamura and matches like that. I don't know if that's going to be the case due to the stories that are currently breaking, but that's the way Mania kind of gave the feel to me, that they're sort of separating the field between the hardcore fans and the casuals.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. WrestleMania's, like you said at the beginning, you know, the biggest wrestling show there is. So they have to cater for casual fans. But, you know, with, you know, social media and everything, I think that even now, casual fans can become the hardcore fans in, you know, an instant. Because of the, you know, there's lots of wrestling podcasts, Tom.
Yes.
Yeah, there's lots
We're
of
going
like
into
that.
A big of, market here.
Yes, there's lots of information that they can just kind of get hold of and say, and then do a quick bit of research and kind of say, right, okay, well, these are what the hardcore
that
fans
was, that
are
was
on
the
about.
Thing,
so.
That was the thing for me, because that was because I was 19 when I got into wrestling. I got into it because I watched it with my roommates at university. That's where I sort of got the base for it. And then a quick look on the internet shows you that there's this wealth of information and this wealth of history to wrestling, and that's what drew me in more than anything.
Yeah, and AJ Styles Nakamura match is like gold for hardcore fans, but I don't think it takes a lot now for casual fans to just be able to see that, oh yeah, Nakamura and AJ Styles have this history and have wrestled in together in, you know, in different countries and things like that. That when does it not become a hardcore fan's dream match and become an actual like a casual fan's match or whatever as a spectacle? Either way, I'm excited for that match.
Yeah.
I think Nakamura is, again, I think he's kind of struggled a little bit on the main roster.
I think it will be easily by far one of the top matches on the show. I think it's going to be the top match on WrestleMania. I don't think it won't be the top match that people can see that weekend.
Okay.
I think the NXT show will have a better match on if Gargano and if Ciampa gets cleared. Again, we won't go too much into TakeOver because the card's not announced for it other than, I believe, one match at the moment. So I'm not going to go particularly into TakeOver, but I think if Ciampa gets cleared and they do Gargano-Ciampa at TakeOver, that's probably match of the year right there. But that is, again, a completely different show. We can talk. It's the best thing in wrestling right now, Gargano-Ciampa. And Almas as well.
I've said, yeah.
By far.
I said a while ago to some people that I think Gargano is, for me, such a natural face of the level of what Daniel Bryan is.
Yeah.
There's no one at the minute for me that I can look at and think I genuinely like them.
Yeah.
As their face character.
I do you know what I mean? That's the thing. You want Johnny Gargano to win his matches because you connect with him. He's done a wonderful... For someone who got put into that spot because I think it was Lars Sullivan got injured or there was something to do with Lars Sullivan. And he was originally supposed to go against Almas. And Gargano had to fill the spot. He's done such a wonderful job of connecting heat. But that's not. Let's not take away from Ciampa as well. Ciampa is a horrible, horrible heel.
Yeah.
I've never, since I've started watching professional wrestling, I've never wanted to see someone get their ass kicked as much as I want to see Tommaso Ciampa get his ass kicked at NXT TakeOver. I want that match to happen because I want to see Gargano batter Ciampa because I hate him. I hate Tommaso Ciampa. Not from a wrestling standpoint.
Clip that out of the podcast.
I don't think so.
And then just put it as a standalone statement. Yeah. Tom McMahon is
a statement.
Hates Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, call the dirt sheets because here it comes, the big story. Yeah. So let's talk about it because the main events are a bit up in the air for WrestleMania. I still think Styles Nakamura is safe, but and I'll make the statement that this has been covered quite a lot on the Wrestling Observer newsletters and Dave Meltzer's radio shows. But for anyone who's not up to speed with a Roman Reigns situation currently developing, a few months ago, Mr. Reigns was named as part of an enhancement investigation for the sale of certain muscle fitness enhancements. This was obviously denied at the time. It has now come out that this was part of a sting operation and the dealer, as such, was in possession of all of Roman Reigns' personal details, things like addresses, telephone numbers, things that you wouldn't expect a random stranger to have on you, and you would expect even less a fitness enhancement dealer to have on you. Supposedly not the only person to be about to be named. There's a list of names that are going to be released. I think Reigns is the only main eventer that's on the list, as far as I'm aware. There's a big name, apparently, of a WWE legend that's going to be named by this as well. Could potentially be a huge scandal for them, for WWE. Could affect the main event of WrestleMania because I they have two choices. They can admit that their testing isn't. They have the
wellness policy.
The wellness policy, and it's not on anything goes. Well, the opposite of anything goes. My mind's gone completely blank on what you would call it. Zero tolerance. That's what I'm trying to say. They have the zero tolerance policy. Or they say they do. Obviously, that's not the case. It's been reported many times that that's not the case. For example, testosterone replacement therapy, which is banned in all other forms of sports, I believe, is not checked for in WWE. Right. There are people that obviously take the testosterone replacement therapy because it's not something that's checked for. None of Brock's supplements are things that they check for, unsurprisingly. But there obviously are things they still check for, and their official standpoint is things are zero tolerance. So it kind of WWE has two choices here. They can either admit that the zero tolerance policy isn't a zero tolerance policy, or they can suspend Reigns for his second strike.
Second strike, yeah. Yes. I'm not quite sure where they're going to go with that.
I'm not sure,
floundering because a little bit, aren't they, with this?
Well, it came across on Raw that they've slowed this right down. And it's very obvious that Strowman isn't doing anything on the current Mania card because he may have to step into the main event. And Strowman's the obvious choice.
Yeah.
Should Reigns go. But yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, because it's hard to comment on. If this was, say, if Mania was 2 weeks on Sunday, you'd just say, well, they'll have the Mania match and then they'll suspend him anyway, and they'll just keep the title on Brock for now.
Mm.
But it's 6 weeks away. This list of names, the evidence is about to drop any day now. Yeah. It's going to come out before Mania, and it's going to come out a long time before Mania.
A couple of things that I think are worth noting. It's not like the end of the world putting Strowman. I'd probably rather see Strowman versus Lesnar. And I think that if Reigns is going to get suspended, that it wouldn't just be a shoehorn for Strowman. I think there's kind of the basis of something there already for them to build in 6 weeks with him and Lesnar.
They certainly can.
They've already got something.
They certainly can do. My issue with Strowman going in the main event is Brock is currently working at the same rate he was working when he had the Mark Hunt UFC fight, where he slows right down. There was obviously the thing, I don't know if you heard, the live event this week where Lesnar came out to face Kane at a Chicago live event where he was scheduled to make an appearance, had a 35-second match.
Right.
And the crowd was furious. The Chicago crowd was absolutely livid. It's not in Chicago, no. It's been commented that this is basically when Brock was getting ready for the Mark Hunt return to UFC, or for the Mark Hunt fight, it was similar to what he did. They had the Mania match with Dean Ambrose. Brock didn't really do anything in that match. Mm. That was supposedly the reason why, because he was getting ready for a UFC return. It's kind of building towards that way. When Lesnar's not been building for a UFC return, like when they had the match, Backlash or No Mercy? It was the match at No Mercy for Strowman and Lesnar one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
That match wasn't very good, and Lesnar wasn't preparing for a UFC return.
Yeah.
My theory with Lesnar and Strowman has always been Lesnar, when he had the match with Styles, they had the great match because Lesnar didn't mind doing things for Styles, because Styles is never going to take Lesnar's spot on the roster.
Yeah.
Strowman probably will take Lesnar's spot on the roster. And Lesnar's making a lot of money right now. He's not making as much money as a UFC return would do, because UFC will pay him more, but he's making a lot of money.
Yeah, but just going back to like what you were talking about there, you know, with Lesnar's relaxed kind of attitude, if it's going to be Lesnar Reigns anyway, then it's the same rule applies. You've still got Lesnar not willing, you know, to do.
I think you do, but I think Reigns is a much better wrestler than Strowman. And that's the issue. It's a skill level. Reigns will be able to bring more out of Lesnar for the match than Strowman will. Strowman, skill-wise, that Strowman has some good matches every now and again. The SummerSlam match was a lot of fun with him putting everyone through tables and stuff like that. Elimination Chamber was a great match, and it was a great match largely in part due to Strowman. Strowman one-on-one with pretty much anyone is not a good match. It's not fun to watch, except for the end. The finishes are always quite on point with Strowman. The matches themselves are not great matches. I personally don't see Lesnar being the main event this year again. I don't see how with...
So who are you going to put as the main then?
At the moment, Styles and Nakamura would be the obvious choice. I don't know if they will.
I
don't think they will put Styles and Nakamura as the main event. If Cena Undertaker comes, if Cena Undertaker happens, I think that will be the main event. But again, I don't think Cena Undertaker is happening at the moment. Probably the Ronda match. There's a good chance the Ronda match could hit the main event. I know there was a report on it. Someone mentioned to me there was a report on that happening. But I didn't believe at the time. I just put it down to hearsay. But at the moment, with the situation of the Raw main event, I don't see that's going to be the main event of WrestleMania.
I don't think the crowd would be up for that as a main.
Oh, I think they will. I think they'll be behind Ronda. I think they'll stay for Ronda. Everyone in that arena will go into that arena. Everyone watching at home as well will start watching at home with one of their big interest points seeing how does Ronda Rousey wrestle.
Yeah.
And I think that's gonna be a possibility. That could push that to the main event because people will stay for Rousey. I think people will stay for Rousey.
I think if you're going to have a, you know, how we were discussing a safe match, I think last WrestleMania's main event was underwhelming.
I still haven't seen the main event to that. I fell asleep.
Roman Reigns.
5 hour shows. I can't get through 5 hour shows.
It was.
Yeah.
The reason was because it was like, you know, the reason that it was memorable was because of the Undertaker's kind of retirement in speech marks there. The match itself wasn't great. And are they going to have a second WrestleMania on the trot without having a title as the main event
and
a great blowout match? Yeah. And I think I disagree with the Strowman one-on-one comments. I think that, especially against Lesnar, I think that it would be a different match than Strowman just putting people through tables or smashing double bases over people's heads. And I would rather see that as a main.
I think possibly with Heyman as an agent for the match. This could be a possibility. We'll have to see. There is one person that we have just mentioned that needs a big talk about. What are they going to do with John Cena? because at the moment, I have no idea. For those of you that haven't kept up with any of the reports.
He just can't catch a break, can he?
Johnny Boy's having some hard times at the moment. And, you know, everyone needs to just come together and just give him a little bit of a help out. The report was, at the moment, obviously Cena Undertaker was the plan. Cena Undertaker doesn't look like it's happening due to a failed medical by the Undertaker because he had surgery in, I believe, June. So that's probably not going to happen now. I don't see Undertaker coming back. We'll know more by next. I assume if he's coming back, he's coming back next week, but I don't think he is.
No.
So trying to work out, I've come up with a little theory of what I think it could be, the Cena match. And I've got to think, because due to the fact that there was a report last week that Mysterio was backstage, very briefly, if we're talking about Mysterio as well, let's talk about Five Star. How up to date on the Five Star situation are you?
Not massively, no.
No, right, okay. So, the situation with Five Star, obviously they ran in Belfast through the snow last week, but then cancelled Aberdeen this week, which would be the week beginning March the 5th. They cancelled their show in Aberdeen. Just a real, real mess. It's such a shame. I know people had a lot of gripes with Five Star, and I've only seen their opening show because I just end up being in work whenever they're running, and I can't watch them, and I can't find any catch up for them, which is very annoying and a bit silly considering the times that they run.
It's free sports, isn't it? So
yeah, so
they do reruns in the middle of the night if you've got
Skybox, okay.
Or something. Yeah, that's how I record it. Yeah,
I'll have a ganders at that and see if I can catch any. Possibly if they're still running by the time that they actually do come back. It's looking like it might not be the case. So the situation with Five Star, obviously Mysterio reported to be at SmackDown last week, backstage, negotiating for a WrestleMania match. Mysterio is also wasn't able to make the Five Star tapings that week. And has supposedly missed Five Star due to travel conditions, but I feel that that may have been an excuse or an exception. An interesting thing, though, Mysterio is reported to have torn his bicep working a show the day after in the US, which is interesting that there was clearly, I don't know whether he's maybe just taken a booking because he's lost out on the five-star booking.
Yeah, maybe he hadn't come to any kind of agreement.
He's under contract, so I can't see why. Oh. So obviously, I can't see why he'd need to make up for lost funds, because you would expect him to have already been paid in some kind of way, and it was a travel issue as well. So the bicep thing is kind of iffy for WWE. Their policy on injuries when they're signing someone is that if someone needs to have surgery, they have to have the surgery before. I don't know, do you know the recovery time on a bicep surgery? What it would be around about?
No, I have no idea.
Right, okay. So, but I can guarantee it would probably mean he'd have to miss Mania.
Yeah.
I can't see it being under 6 weeks. But people have worked. They may make an exception with Mysterio, and I kind of feel that with the Cena situation, they possibly will, because another thing on Raw, which was, again, quite a decent match, Revival versus The Bar. If the Revival beat The Bar, they go on to WrestleMania to face The Bar for the Tag Team Championships. Bar beat them.
Hmm.
Bar needs challenges for WrestleMania. Hmm. I think a very good chance that we'll be seeing a new tag team of Rey Mysterio and John Cena debuting at WrestleMania. I think it's an entirely very possible big draw for casual fans.
Yeah.
Big, big draw for casual fans. Merchandise. Rey shifts a lot of merchandise. Cena shifts a whole world of merchandise. Those two together with merchandise sales, that's a lot of money for a lot of people.
Are there any tag matches announced?
Open, as far as I'm aware, The Bar will have a match at WrestleMania.
You've got New Day, Usos, and
There's obviously the Ronda tag match.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've not announced anything for the Usos or the New Day.
You can see it being that being a triple threat.
I can see it being a multi-man tag match on the pre-show. The focus after WrestleMania is a lot of multi-man matches, which is why the Fastlane card's so stacked, because they're just going in the direction of multi-man matches at the moment. Mm. So I think that's entirely possible that that's what they're going to do.
Cena and Mysterio.
But I think that's...
They're keeping that open, aren't they, at the minute for the bar?
Hmm. If Cena and Undertaker gets announced next week, it'll be the Authors of Pain. That's who I think will be the WrestleMania match, because I don't see where you go after the Revival. I don't see where you can go. I don't see who you have on the Raw roster as a tag team that they can do. The fact that they've had to keep putting people together.
Yeah, bringing them up at WrestleMania, though. Didn't they bring them up before? You've got 6 weeks.
It would make a lot of sense to bring them up and do a little bit of an introduction for them. I don't see them, because they're not going to get as good a response as the Hardys do.
No.
But again, the Broken Hardys could be a possibility, because I would assume this Final Deletion match between Matt and Bray will happen on TV. I don't think that's going to happen at WrestleMania.
No.
I just don't think that's going to happen at WrestleMania. To have to go to a pre-recorded match.
Yeah.
Considering how Final Deletion elements of the Bray and Orton match flopped last year, I don't see that happening. Mm. I don't see them going to a screen, not in New Orleans. It's a big arena.
No.
So I don't think that's going to be the case. At the moment, obviously, we've gone through the card now. It's going to be speculation, mostly because the full card's not in place. So I think at the moment, I think it's a nice little show, especially if you're doing things like putting Cena and Mysterio together. It adds a little bit of intrigue to the show.
Mm.
I think their focus at the moment will just be getting that main event sorted, though, that main event situation.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to come back in a couple of weeks to see what the state of the card is.
Right, okay. Yes, and I completely agree with you there. It's been the first podcast.
Mm.
We've had a bit of fun.
Just a little bit of fun.
I think we can have more fun. I think we can have more fun, and I think we will do when we're going through a little bit more of the Mania run-up.
Yeah.
I think we'll do a show on the NXT TakeOver run-up, and I think that's going to be a lot more interesting to talk about. We've got a few British things coming up as well that we'll be talking about. I'd very much like to do some shows on some of the matches I've seen already this year.
Mm.
But we went with a nice little easy one for the WrestleMania run-up. And that is it. I hope everyone's been able to learn something from today in terms of what WrestleMania is going to look like. If you agree with me, if you don't agree with us on what you've said, feel free to give us a tweet. There will be social media for the podcast coming up soon, hopefully by the time this has actually been released. And if you would like to send us a tweet directly, you can find myself at TomMacWrestlePro.
You can find me at GuidingLightIQ.
Excellent. If you have anything you'd like to tweet us about, any questions for the podcast, feel free to do so. And we will see you probably next week.